Welcome to Fight the Good Fight, a production of Freedom Force Florida. And now your hosts, Michael Williams and Tabitha Brown.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. This time, we're going deep into something you sent us, the proposed Compassionate Release Act in Florida.
Okay.
It's a really, I think, interesting mix of law, healthcare, even economics, all rolled into one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Get ready, because I think there are some things that are... They might surprise you, and you might end up looking at the justice system a little bit differently by the time we're done.
Yeah, I think so, too. What's really interesting to me about this act is how it kind of tries to find that balance between, you know, having compassion, but also keeping people accountable.
Yeah.
It says that for some people, keeping them in prison, it's not humane. It costs a lot of money, and it doesn't really do much for public safety.
Right.
So that's kind of the challenge that it's trying to address.
Okay, so I want to, before we get too far into it, when we say compassionate release, what does that actually mean?
So compassionate release is basically a way to let people out of prison early, legally, if they have a terminal illness or a really serious disability.
Okay.
The idea is that at some point, keeping them in prison just becomes more of a burden than a necessity.
Okay, so it's not like just opening the doors and letting everyone out, right? There's got to be some specific criteria.
Right, exactly. This act is really focused on people who, because of their condition, they're not really a threat to public safety anymore.
Okay.
It's not a way for dangerous criminals to just get out of jail free.
Okay, so I know that Florida already has a program called conditional medical release, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is this act different from what's already in place?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the existing program, it has some limits.
Okay.
It only applies to people who didn't commit violent crimes.
Yeah.
And it's not retroactive, meaning it doesn't apply to people who were already in prison before the program started.
Okay.
This new Compassionate Release Act is trying to fix those problems. So it could potentially help a lot more people.
Gotcha. So who's really behind this push for change? Who's trying to make this happen?
Well, there are two groups, advocacy groups, that are really leading the way.
Yeah.
One is called FreedomForceFlorida.org, and the other is Mercy for Children.
Mercy for Children. So it sounds like they're focused on kids, right?
It's interesting because even though they have that name, their work actually goes beyond just children.
Okay.
They're pushing for the release of all sorts of people who meet the Act's requirements, not just kids.
Huh. Okay.
But their website, it does emphasize their work on juvenile justice reform, so...
Interesting. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Like, who exactly would qualify for release under this act? What are the specific conditions?
So the act lists three very specific conditions. One, you have to have a terminal illness and a life expectancy of 3 years or less. Two, a severe physical disability. Or three, a severe mental disability.
Okay.
And these aren't just, you know, loosely defined terms. They have very strict definitions.
Okay.
They require you to be really impaired in your daily activities.
So, like, for example, what would count as a severe mental disability under this act?
So, to qualify under that condition, the mental impairment has to be permanent. It has to really affect your cognitive function, your thinking abilities, and you have to be incapable of planning any criminal activity or posing a threat to public safety.
So they're really making sure that, you know, public safety is still a top priority here. It's not just letting anyone with a diagnosis out.
Right. That's really important. It's not about letting public safety go. It's about recognizing when someone is no longer a real threat because of their medical condition.
Okay. So there's this whole compassion angle.
Right.
But I imagine there are other reasons, other arguments for why people support this act, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. People who support this act have a lot of reasons. Of course, there's the humanitarian side, you know, wanting to ease suffering for people who are no longer a danger. But there's also a strong economic argument.
Yeah, the cost. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
It's a big factor. Taking care of people with these really serious conditions in prison, it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And their argument is that compassionate release could save the state a lot of money.
So are there any actual numbers on that yet?
Well, here's the interesting part. The proposed act actually requires the Florida Department of Corrections to figure out how much money could be saved.
Okay.
So it's definitely a major factor driving this whole effort.
Okay, so we have compassion, we have the potential cost savings, and we have this constant focus on public safety. Is there anything else?
Well, there's also the idea that compassionate release can actually improve public safety in some cases.
Okay, now that's interesting.
Remember, being released under this act doesn't mean you're just free to go. You're actually put on probation.
Okay, so you're still under supervision, still accountable to the justice system.
Exactly. And this allows for a more controlled reentry into society, which some people argue could actually reduce the chances of someone committing another crime compared to just releasing them after their full sentence with no support.
That's interesting. So let's say someone meets all the requirements for compassionate release.
Okay.
What happens next? How do they actually get out?
Well, it's not just a simple process.
Yeah.
There are a lot of steps involved. It all starts with the person in prison filing a motion with the court asking for their sentence to be changed.
And what has to be in this motion? Is it just as simple as saying, hey, I'm sick, let me out?
No, not at all. There's a lot of specific documentation required, and this is where it gets really interesting. The motion has to include a medical certification from what they call a competent medical authority.
Competent medical authority. So what makes a medical authority competent in this case? It sounds like there's some pretty strict requirements.
You're right. This is where they put in those checks and balances. So the medical professional has to be a licensed physician in Florida who is directly involved in the offender's care, or they have to be a recognized specialist in the relevant field.
Okay.
And here's the key part. They have to have personally examined the offender within 90 days of writing the certification.
Wow. So no outdated diagnoses or second opinions?
Exactly. They're really emphasizing having up-to-date and reliable information.
Gotcha. So it's not just the medical certification, right? Probably. What else needs to be included?
They also need to include a release of medical information that the offender signs. This allows the court to look at their entire medical history.
Wow, okay.
And they also have to submit a detailed plan for their care after they're released.
A care plan? Like, what does that look like? Is it like a step-by-step guide to life outside of prison?
It's basically a roadmap.
Yeah.
That's to say where they'll live, how their medical care will be provided and paid for,
right.
Who will be responsible for taking care of them. They even need to include contact information for their healthcare providers.
Wow, okay.
So it's not just about getting out. It's about having a solid plan for their life after release.
Yeah, that makes sense. So does the court just automatically approve these motions once they have all this stuff?
Not quite. After the offender submits everything, the court has 90 days to hold a hearing.
Okay.
This gives both sides a chance to present their case.
I imagine that's where it could get pretty complicated.
Yeah.
You know, the court has to consider so many factors.
Yeah, absolutely. The court has to think about how serious the illness or disability is, the potential risk to the community if this person is released, whether the care plan is realistic, and even what the victim thinks, if there's one.
So it's a real balancing act, isn't it?
Exactly. Balancing compassion with keeping the public safe.
Yeah.
And to make sure everything is fair, the act allows the court to get second opinions from other medical professionals if they need to.
Okay.
They're really trying to be thorough.
What if the motion is denied? Is that it? Game over?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
While they can't appeal the denial, they're allowed to file a new motion every year. So if their situation changes or they have a stronger case, they can try again.
Okay, that makes sense. So all of this is very intricate. It really makes you think, is Florida the only state looking at this kind of law?
Actually, Florida is a little behind on this.
Oh, really?
Compassionate release is becoming more common across the country.
So other states already have similar programs in place.
Yeah. California has a program that lets inmates with terminal illnesses out if they have 6 months or less to live. New York has something called medical parole for people who are terminally ill or permanently incapacitated. Yeah. Texas has their medically recommended intensive supervision program. Even the federal prison system has ways to grant compassionate release.
Huh. So Florida's playing catch-up in a way.
You could say that, but the fact that these programs exist in other states just shows how important this issue is.
Yeah.
It's not some crazy new idea. It's a recognized way of dealing with a specific group of people in prison.
Right. It's definitely giving me a lot to think about. And I'm curious, you mentioned that Florida's existing conditional medical release program isn't retroactive. Does this Compassionate Release Act address that at all?
It does, and that's a really important detail.
Okay.
The proposed act specifically says that it would apply retroactively.
So someone who's been in prison for years and then develops a qualifying condition could actually be eligible for release.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that retroactive element could have a huge impact. It could potentially affect hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who are currently in prison in Florida. It could really change things.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Okay, yeah. So we've talked about who qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the process. But I'm really curious about what happens after someone is actually granted release under this act. What does that look like?
That's a really important question.
Yeah.
And the act is very specific about that, too. Remember that care plan that they have to submit as part of their motion?
Right.
Well, that becomes really important after they're released. The person basically goes into a probation period that lasts for the same amount of time they had left on the original sentence.
Okay.
So they're not just totally free. They still have to answer to the justice system.
Right. There's still that accountability there.
Exactly. They have to follow the rules of their probation. And that can include things like checking in with a probation officer regularly, sticking to their care plan, maybe even restrictions on where they can live or who they can hang out with.
Okay, that makes sense. So what about the Florida Department of Corrections?
Uh-huh.
Are they involved at all after someone is released?
Oh, yeah. The DOC actually plays a big role even after someone is released.
Okay.
The act says that they're responsible for keeping track of how compassionate release cases turn out, like monitoring how many people end up back in prison,
mm-hmm.
and also figuring out how the program affects the prison healthcare system.
So it sounds like they're really taking an active role in making sure this program works the way it's supposed to.
Exactly. And here's another interesting part. The DOC is also in charge of calculating how much money the state actually saves through compassionate release.
Right, because that was one of the main arguments for the act.
Exactly. So it'll be really interesting to see what the actual numbers are.
It'll be really interesting to see how that all plays out. So, you know, this Compassionate Release Act, if it passes, it seems like it could have a pretty big impact.
It could, yeah. It has the potential to really change the lives of a lot of people in prison, maybe save the state some money, and even start a bigger conversation about how we think about justice and compassion in our criminal justice system.
Yeah, I mean, uh-huh. You mentioned earlier that the act has all these safeguards built in to address those concerns about public safety.
Right.
But are there any potential downsides
mm-hmm.
or unintended consequences that people are worried about?
That's a really good question, and it's something that lawmakers and advocates are really thinking about. When you're talking about something as complex as the criminal justice system, it's almost impossible to predict every single outcome.
So what are some of the specific concerns that people have brought up?
Well, one concern is that the act might be too focused on medical conditions.
Okay.
And it might miss other situations where compassionate release could be justified.
Like what kind of situations are we talking about?
Well, imagine someone who's elderly.
Yeah.
They may not meet the medical criteria in the act, but they're just too frail to be a threat, and prison is really hard on them.
Okay.
Or think about someone who's the only one who can take care of a child or another family member.
Right.
Those cases might not be covered by the act as it's written right now.
So it sounds like the whole definition of compassion itself might need to be looked at more closely.
Yeah, some people say it does. Another concern is that the system could be abused or manipulated.
In what way?
Well, there's always a risk that someone might try to fake an illness or exaggerate their disability to get out of prison early.
Right. That's a risk with any system that depends on people being honest.
Exactly. And that's why the act stresses the importance of having thorough medical documentation and making sure everything is verified.
Right.
But even with those safeguards in place, there's always a chance that someone could slip through the cracks.
Sure. Have people talked about the victims at all?
Yeah.
How does this act take their perspective into account?
That's another really important consideration. The act requires victims to be notified about the compassionate release petition.
Okay.
And it allows them to give their input to the court.
But I can see how some victims might feel like any early release, no matter what the reason, just feels like they're being denied justice.
Absolutely. Those feelings are completely valid and we need to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
This is where things get really complicated. You're trying to balance compassion for the offender with the needs and rights of the victims. And it's not easy to find that balance.
It's not. So it sounds like this act, even though it's coming from a good place, could create some really tough ethical and logistical problems.
It could.
And that's why it's so important to have a public debate about these issues. This isn't just a legal or medical question. It's a question for our whole society.
Right.
It touches on our values, our beliefs about justice, and how much compassion we're willing to show as a society.
Exactly. You're right. It's a bigger conversation than just the law.
Right. So let's zoom out a bit here. Where does this act fit into the larger picture of criminal justice reform?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
This act, even though it focuses on a specific group of people in prison, is actually part of a much bigger movement.
Okay.
A movement that's trying to make our criminal justice system more humane and just for everyone.
So it's not just about compassionate release. It's about a more comprehensive approach to fixing the system.
Exactly. Compassionate release is just one piece of the puzzle. There are tons of other reforms and initiatives being discussed and put into action all over the country. Things like addressing mass incarceration, the fact that people of color are often given harsher sentences, the overuse of solitary confinement, and the lack of good mental health and rehabilitation services in prisons.
So, in a way, this act is a small example of what's happening in the larger movement for criminal justice reform.
It is. And it shows how all of these issues are connected.
Oh.
For instance, the high cost of caring for elderly and sick prisoners is directly related to how many people we have in prison in the first place.
Right, right.
And the lack of mental health services in prisons means more people might end up qualifying for compassionate release because of mental disability.
Yeah, it's a whole web of interconnected problems. So even if this act doesn't become law, the conversation it's starting is still really important.
Absolutely. It makes us think about some really tough questions about what we value as a society and what our priorities are. What does a just system really look like? How much should compassion matter when we decide how to punish people?
Yeah.
How do we balance the needs of victims with the rights of people who have committed crimes?
Those are big questions that every society has to wrestle with, and there are no easy answers.
That's true. And the answers might be different depending on the situation, the culture, the specific circumstances.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're even having this conversation is a good sign. It means we're starting to understand justice in a new way and realizing that just punishing people isn't always the best or most humane solution.
It really does feel like there's a shift happening, a change in how we as a society think about justice and punishment.
Yeah, I think so too. There's this growing awareness of the human cost of putting people in prison.
Right.
The impact it has, not just on the individuals themselves, but on their families and communities as well. And there's this realization that sometimes compassion and giving people a chance to rehabilitate themselves might be more effective than just locking them up.
This whole deep dive has really been eye-opening for me, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
We've really dug into all the details of Florida's proposed Compassionate Release Act.
Yeah.
We've looked at the arguments for and against it, the potential benefits, the challenges, and how it all ties into the bigger picture of criminal justice reform.
It's been a really fascinating discussion. We've seen how this act is trying to find that delicate balance between compassion for people who are suffering, being responsible with money, and keeping the public safe.
Yeah, and we've also learned that Florida isn't alone in this. Other states already have similar programs, and the federal government has its own ways of granting compassionate release. It's clearly an issue that's getting attention all over the country.
One thing that really stands out to me is how much emphasis the act puts on collecting data and analyzing it. By requiring the Department of Corrections to track how things turn out, to see how many people end up back in prison, and even to calculate how much money is saved. It's like they built in a way to constantly evaluate the program and make adjustments as they go along.
So it's not just a matter of passing the law and hoping for the best.
Exactly.
It's about learning from what happens and being willing to adapt.
It's like they're treating it as an experiment, a way to gather real evidence so they can make better policy decisions in the future. That approach, using data to make decisions, is really important if we want to get past just ideology and make choices about criminal justice reform that are actually informed.
I think that's a really important point for our listeners to take away.
Yeah.
This isn't just about one specific law in one state. It's about a bigger shift in how we think about justice, about compassion, and about the role of the criminal justice system as a whole.
It's a conversation that everyone needs to be a part of.
Yeah.
Whether criminal justice reform is something you're really passionate about, whether you're worried about public safety, or even if you're just curious about how these things affect our society, it's important to stay informed and have thoughtful conversations about these issues.
That's a great point. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final question to think about. And it's a big one. Does this Compassionate Release Act strike the right balance between compassion, fiscal responsibility, and public safety?
And even beyond that, what do you think a just and compassionate criminal justice system should look like? What role should second chances play? How can we create a system that holds people accountable, but also recognizes their humanity and their potential to change for the better?
Those are powerful questions,
yeah.
And I encourage you to keep exploring them.
Yeah.
Find out more about this act. Research similar things in other states. Talk to people who have different viewpoints.
The more we understand these complex issues, the better we'll be able to create a society that's both just and compassionate.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this really thought-provoking journey.
You're welcome.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic that matters.
Great.
Until then, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep those conversations going.
Thank you for listening to Fight the Good Fight. Please join us by signing up on our website and help fund our mission by clicking the donate page.